One Yellow Eye by Lee Radford. Read by Sophia Engstrand. Dad, there is nothing we wouldn't have done to keep you with us. Kiss. Rage. Rage against the dying of the light. Dylan Thomas. Chapter 1. Kester blinked. Once. Twice. The third time, deliberately enough, for the lashes to press into the hollows of her eyes. Enjoying that disconcerting internal crunch. The guiding vibrations. Like the involuntary overture of a yawn. Kester thought a lot about blinking now, because they did not blink. She hadn't noticed it at first. In the midst of chaos, important details can be overlooked. Witnesses are unreliable. When all around you, people are bolting in terror, and you happen to find yourself running away from one of them at full tilt, there is no time to turn heel, head back inside the laboratory and jog up to the fourth floor for a slit lamp to take a proper look. It occurred to her only much later on, 3 or perhaps 4 weeks into it, when she had seen several of them die right in front of her, most of them shot by the army, although that one guy guillotined by the galvanized roller doors at the dry cleaners was pretty unforgettable, that they didn't blink. It was when she had found one in the pathology lab, just wandering around as if he had worked there once as a porter. The missing arm had been a giveaway, of course, not to mention the little it seemed to concern him. Missing and bleeding profusely as it was, the humerus quite visible, and not at all funny. It was when she had hit him, over and over again, at first with a chair that had been too awkward to wield successfully for a woman of her size, and then with the old microtome on Dudley's desk, which she still used for paraffin sections. Even as she beat it down on the top of his head until there wasn't one to speak of, he hadn't blinked once. She had made assiduous notes afterward. Patient does not blink. Patient cannot blink. Lack of thalamus, proptosis, or tumour should be considered. Kester sighed. She did, to her credit, have a fair amount to sigh about. But then, so did everybody else. Today was Wednesday, and Wednesday meant she was compelled to listen to the litany of misfortunes suffered by the 11 others at group therapy. Her job as a biomedical scientist mandated her attendance because of what had happened to her. And so, she went. The other people at therapy would often look at her with eyes searching eagerly for friendship. When this happened, Kester turned her blinking up a notch so that she appeared to either be deep in thought or napping. This had worked successfully for 4 weeks, but she knew it would only be a matter of time before she'd have to articulate this rejection. When Tina, the resident gobshite, had suggested they form a breakout group, a few seemed pleased by the prospect of taking their talking elsewhere. To a pub, maybe. Or heaven forfend, into each other's homes. All Kester could think of was that the group was metastasizing. And in her experience, that was never a good thing. Spread meant death. These meetings of the Zombie Apocalypse Recovery Group were always the same. Slow, repetitive, clumsy. The irony wasn't lost on Kester. She wondered what Tim would make of it all. Him being bitten at the very end of the outbreak, and her condemned to a life in therapy because of it. She wasn't always sure whose fate was worse. Where she mourned Tim, others grieved for children, partners, parents. Each one lanced from their lives with prodigious cruelty.